wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. When I look around and I see nothing but brothers in here, but I know there's a few mothers, and we just want to let you know that you're so special. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day. I know me personally, I had a very, very special mother. She really impacted my life, and mothers make a difference. Amen. Behind every great man is a great mother, a greater mother. And it's a special calling. It's a special role within family, within society. And God bless you. And we love you. And keep up the good work. And you'll be rewarded in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. Let's get into our study this morning. And let's bow in a word of prayer, and let's ask the Lord to just bless our time in the Word. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We thank you for giving us the opportunity of being in your house once again. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our time and open our hearts as we open your Word. That, Lord, that everything that would be shared, that everything would be that would be contemplated this morning would be for your glory, for your honor, and for your name's sake. We love you, Lord, and I thank you for everyone who came. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to them this morning and that their attendance would not be in vain, but, Lord, that they would leave this place touched, transformed, and more in love with Jesus Christ. Lord, I especially want to pray for those who might be here and maybe they don't have a relationship with Christ. Maybe they're not where they need to be. Lord, I pray that by the time they leave this place, that they would have entered the narrow gate, that they would be traveling the difficult path, and that they would be committed, restored, renewed in their relationship with Jesus Christ, because it's all about Jesus. And we just pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians. And we are going to be in chapter 6. And we're going to begin our study in verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. When you have it, what if you let me know by saying, Adam, I got it. No, amen. It'll do good. I got it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, and it reads as follows. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This morning, I've titled our study, Boasting in the Cross. Boasting in the Cross. Here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the Apostle Paul tells us that he boasted in the cross more than anything else. That he boasted, that he gloried in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is quite a statement for the Apostle Paul to make, because there was so much in his life that he could have boasted about. He could have boasted in his higher education. He was a brilliant intellect, brilliant mind. He could have boasted in his social prestige and position. He was from the city of Tarsus there in Cilicia, a Roman citizen. He could have boasted in his religious background. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, circumcised on the eighth day concerning the law, zealous, as he tells us in his writings. But Paul didn't boast in none of those things, but instead he chose to boast in something entirely different. He chose to boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what makes this statement even more incredible is that besides the cross, Paul could have boasted in many other things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, he could have boasted in Jesus' miraculous life. As you all know, Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus performed many miracles, many signs, many wonders throughout his earthly ministry. Paul could have boasted in Jesus' teachings. As you know, no one spoke like Jesus spoke. No one spoke with such heavenly wisdom and authority. He could have boasted in Jesus' bodily resurrection. As you all know, the Lord Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, bodily, physically, triumphantly. Paul could have even boasted in the Lord's second coming. As you all know, the Lord ascended into heaven, but he's promised us that one day he's coming back to rule and to reign and to judge. Paul could have boasted in all of these things, but instead, he chose to boast above all else in the cross of Christ. He chose to render praise for the cross, to glory in the cross, and to rejoice because of the cross. And when you read that, and when you contemplate it, you begin to say to yourself, what a strange thing to boast in. What an awkward thing to glory in. Because we need to understand that the cross was the electric chair of the first century. The cross was the gas chamber of the first century. It was a stumbling block to the Jews, to the religious folk. It was foolishness to the Greeks, to the intellect. And it was disgrace to the Romans, to the high society. It was an instrument of shame, of horror, of death. Historians tell us that the cross was reserved for the worst criminals. It was illegal for Roman citizens to be crucified because it was so shameful. It was so debased. The cross was a disgusting, sickening sight. I know that this morning we come to church and we're all dressed nice. You know, we want to look good for the Lord. And we come to a beautiful sanctuary, and behind us we see a beautiful cross with some beautiful stones and beautiful lights. And we see it and we contemplate it, and it's beautiful. It impacts us. It comforts us. But know this, the cross was not a beautiful thing. The cross was disgusting. It was sickening. Historians tell us that people would vomit at the sight of the cross. The cross was shredded flesh against unforgiven wood. The cross was iron stakes pounded through bone and racked nerves. The cross was joints wrenched out of the sockets by the sheer dead weight of the body. The cross was public humiliation before the eyes of family, friends, and the world. That was the cross. Humiliation, shame, horror, a disgusting, sickening sight. Sickening sight. If you would have witnessed a crucifixion in Jesus' times, it would have left you sick to your stomach. And yet, knowing that, knowing the background, Paul tells us that it was in the cross. in the cross of Christ, that instrument of shame, that instrument of death, that he boasted in and that he gloried in. He said, but God forbid that I should boast in the cross, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a statement. What a declaration we read there in Galatians 6:14. Now this morning we asked the question, why boast in the cross? Why glory in the cross of Christ? Why render praise for the cross of Christ? Why is the cross the center of Christianity, the apex, you might say, of biblical Christianity? While this morning, as we gather together and as we're going to prepare our hearts and minds to partake of the Lord's Supper, I want us to focus. I want us to meditate on the cross. And I want to share with you three reasons why Paul boasted and why we must boast in the cross of Christ. And really what I want you guys to see is that every aspect of our salvation, every detail, every part of our salvation flows from the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without the cross, there's no salvation. Without the cross, there's no forgiveness. Without the cross, there's no deliverance. Without the cross, we're hopeless. We're wasting our time. This morning, it's through the cross that we have salvation. How many could say amen? And so this morning, I want to share with you guys a few reasons why we boast in the cross. And they're in your notes, and you can follow along with me. By no means is this an exhaustive study. You know, we can be here all day talking about reasons why we boast. But this is more of an overview. And I just want to hit on some of the major points that we find in the book of Galatians. Amen. How many of you guys are still with me this morning? Amen. Let's begin. The first thing we want to look at is this. The cross of Christ saves from the penalty of sin. The cross of Christ saves from the penalty of sin. Turn with me to Galatians 1. And let's read verses 3 and 4 together. Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4. And this is what we read. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people says, amen. So first, why boast in the cross? First, because the cross of Christ saves from the penalty of sin. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself as a substitute for the sins of the world. He gave himself for our sins. He was crucified for our sins. There at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins. He paid our sin debt. He absorbed the righteous wrath of an absolutely holy God against our sins on our behalf. And it is only through the cross that salvation from the penalty of sin is found. Only in the cross. Only through what Jesus did on Calvary can we find salvation from the penalty of our sins. Amen. Turn with me to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 13. And this is what Paul says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ redeemed us from the curse, becoming a curse for us at the cross. You know, the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That God has a standard, that God is holy, God is pure, God is perfect, and he has a standard, and that standard is not us. We've blown it, we've fallen short, we've missed the mark. And the Bible teaches that because of that, God must judge. There's a penalty for breaking the law. There's a penalty for rebelling against God, for committing cosmic treason, which all of humanity has committed. And so not only have everyone sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but all are subject to the penalty of sin. And that penalty is eternal condemnation and damnation. And yet, the good news of the gospel, and one of the reasons why Paul boasts in the cross, is because at the cross, Jesus took our place. And Jesus became our substitute that we might be saved from the penalty of sin. You know, this morning, I just want to share this with you with all respect and with all love and with grace. But this morning, you must recognize, you must understand that a priest cannot save you. A pastor cannot save you. A church cannot save you. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're saved. In the same way, just because you go to a garage doesn't mean you're a car. Amen. Good works cannot save you. Traditions, rituals cannot save you. Only repentance in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross can save you. And you must never forget that. Because oftentimes I fear for our church and for the church in general, that people go to church and they've been going for years and they're not saved. They're not right with God. They haven't accepted Christ. They haven't placed their faith and trust in his sacrifice. And they're going to church. They're there every Sunday. And little do they know, they're running a hell-bound race. And I get afraid. I'll be honest with you. I tremble. I stay up at night thinking about that. Because how disastrous would it be for someone to hear me week after week, month after month, year after year, and a tragedy happens in their life, they step into eternity, and they're not ready to appear before God. What a tragedy that would be. And I think of that, and that's why this morning I tell you, if you know it already or not, if you're saved already or you're not saved, that the cross of Christ is the only salvation from the penalty of sin. And it's through the cross. It's through faith in what Jesus did that we're saved. Amen. We're justified by faith in Christ. You know, in America, We have a doctrine going around. We have a teaching that's accepted by many, and it's called justification by death. Justification by death. And this is what that means. Many believe that to be justified, to be right with God, all they have to do is die. That's all they have to do. That they can live however they want to live. That they can do whatever they want to do. And all they have to do is die, and God's going to accept them. God's going to receive them. And they're going to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And so there's this doctrine, we call it justification by death. That all you have to do is to receive forgiveness, to receive salvation, is die. And once you die, as you've all heard at funerals, you're going to be in a better place. You're going to rest in peace because the Lord is your shepherd. And I say this with respect, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible doesn't teach justification by death. The Bible teaches justification by faith in Jesus Christ. It's salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And it's the cross that saves us from the penalty of sin. It's through the cross that we're forgiven, amen? It's through the cross that we get right with God. It's through the cross that we can approach God. How many could say amen? Now, I want to say this to the family this morning also. Those who have entered by the narrow gate, those who have given their life to Christ, and you're serving Jesus, and you love Jesus, and you've experienced forgiveness. I want to say this. You're not saved, or you don't remain saved. Let's put it like that. Because you had a good day. You don't remain saved because you woke up and you're able to have your time in prayer. You're able to get into the Word. You went to work and you shared your faith and 10 people came to Christ. You went home, and if you're a husband, you helped your wife and you made dinner for your wife. And if you're a wife, because you went home and made sure to clean the house, and then you prayed with your children, and then you went to sleep and whatnot. You're not saved. You don't remain saved because you had a good day. You're not just able to approach God on good days. You're not able to go before the Father in prayer because you had a right day, a good day. But you're saved because of your faith in Jesus Christ, in his cross. And why do I say that? Because that happens to us often. You have a good day, and that's the day when you're in cloud nine. You're in the third heaven. You're praising Jesus. You love Jesus. Everything is A-okay. And then you have a bad day. You wake up, and you're angry. You're frustrated. And you think to yourself, okay, today I can't pray today. Because I had a bad day. The door's closed to the Father's house. Or you wake up on a Sunday, and for whatever reason, you know, you and your wife are grumbling, you're arguing. Maybe you and your children. Maybe you had a bad day on Saturday. Can't go to church today because it's not a good day. I'm going to have to wait next week. I'm going to have to wait until Wednesday. You're not saved because you had a good day, but you're saved because of your faith in Christ. And as you go by the cross, as you go through the cross, you're always accepted. Good days, bad days, frustrating days, fun days, happy days, sad days. You're always accepted by grace through faith in Christ. Amen. That's something that I would encourage you never to forget. Salvation is from the cross, because the cross saves us from the penalty of sin. Let's look at the next point. Secondly, The cross saves us, or the cross saves from the power of sin. From the power of sin. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. And this is what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How many could say amen? That's one of my favorite verses in the book of Galatians. So second thing, why boast in the cross of Christ? Secondly, because the cross of Christ saves from the power of sin. Not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. Now, the Bible teaches us, and if you want a cross reference, you can write down Romans 6, that when Christ died to sin at the cross, the Bible teaches us that we also died to sin with him. In other words, there was a mysterious union with Christ at his death. And when Christ died to sin at the cross, we, believers, we were crucified with Christ. And so the Bible teaches that because of that mysterious union, because we were united with Christ at the cross, the Bible teaches us that the old man, that the old self, that the old you before Christ, with its old ways and sinful desires and lustful temptations, was crucified with Christ, nailed to the cross, placed in the tomb, sealed with a stone. And so the Bible teaches that the old man died when Christ died. That when Christ died, your old lifestyle with the old ways died, officially dead. And because of that, it no longer has power over you. It no longer has influence over you. It no longer has control over you. But now in Christ and through the cross of Christ, you've been saved from the power of sin. Turn with me to chapter 5 in Galatians. Verse 24, chapter 5, verse 24, and this is what Paul says. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who are in Christ, those who have committed their life to Christ, those who have accepted Christ, have been crucified. The flesh is crucified. The old lifestyle is crucified. The old desires is crucified. When Christ died at the cross, you died with him. Amen? And so what does that mean? How could we apply that in a practical terms? Simply this way, victory over the power of sin, victory over the power of temptation, victory over the power of sinful desires is not found in a strong will. It's not found by you saying, I can do this, I can resist, I can change. It's not found in a strong will. It's not found in a 12-step program. It's not found in a seminary or a classroom. It's not found in a self-help book. You can read all the books you want. You can study all you want. But victory over the power of sin is not found in none of those things. Victory over the power of sin is only found in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. That I can say on the authority of the Word of God. And Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ. Because it's in the cross that you're not only saved from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin, from temptation, from lust, from battles, from struggles, from depression, from discouragement, from loneliness, from scars in the past. It's through the cross. It's being united mysteriously. And I don't know how it works, but it works. When Christ died, you died. Your old ways, your old lifestyles. And when Christ was raised, you were raised with him. And so your old lifestyle, your old man, your old flesh died with Christ, was buried with Christ. And when Christ raised, the Bible teaches us that we were raised with him in the newness of life. And now we're a new creation. Amen. Now I'm no longer who I used to be, but now I'm who Christ made me to be. And it's found at the cross. And that's why this morning, you know, if I can share with you just words of advice, words of instruction, words of counsel. If you want to be victorious in your Christian walk, if you want to be successful in your Christian experience, my advice to you would be this. Don't you ever leave the hill of Calvary. Don't you ever leave the foot of the cross. Don't you ever leave the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day. This is probably one of the most important habits you can have as a believer. Every day, preach to yourself the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel is so misunderstood amongst the church today. And this is what they say. They say, okay, the gospel gets you in the door. It gets you in the church. It gets you into the family of God. And it does. No mistaken by it. That's the only way you can get in, through the gospel, through the cross, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But within the church, they say, okay, once you're in the church, once you're in the family, you forget the gospel, and then you go to all the other things, to the programs, and to the ministries, and to the discipleship programs. And it's true that there's an aspect to that, and I'm no way negating that. Discipleship is a biblical truth, and I believe it with all my heart. But what we forget is the gospel doesn't simply get us in the door, but the gospel keeps us in the house. Amen. And the gospel is what's going to preserve us to the end. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. For at the beginning, throughout your walk, and towards the end, for all of eternity. It's the eternal, everlasting gospel. And every day you got to preach the gospel to yourself. That you've been forgiven. That you've been justified. That you're dead in Christ. And you've been raised to the newness of life. And remind yourself that I've been crucified with Christ. Recognize that you're dead to sin. And receive your victory over sin from the cross. Amen. You've died with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. Live in the newness of life. Don't you ever, ever, ever forget or leave the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I always say this, and I don't know if I'm wrong when I say it, but I don't think I am. I need the gospel today the same way I needed the gospel 8 years ago before I came to Christ. I need the gospel. I need the cross. I need the message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I don't get away from that. That's the foundation. That's the cornerstone. That's every wall. That's the ceiling. That's the roof. That's the parking lot outside. It's the gospel. The gospel must be a priority because it saves from the penalty and it also saves from the power. And I would encourage every single one of you this morning, are you struggling with something? Are you battling with something? Do you find yourself in a tough situation in your Christian walk? Or are you here this morning and maybe you've never given your life to Christ and maybe you find yourself addicted to certain vices, addicted to certain habits, drug, alcohol, pornography, a dirty mouth, a filthy mind? If that's you this morning, know this, that the answer is not so much you coming to a church. The answer is not so much you hearing someone preach a sermon, but the answer is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the solution. That's where you will find your salvation. And any other thing or anyone else will just leave you disappointed and in the same situation. But once you go to Calvary, I promise you this, you won't leave the same way you arrived. Amen. Let's look at the final third thing, and we're going to end with this. The cross of Christ saves from the presence of sin. Not only the penalty, not only the power, but also the presence. Now, let's read Galatians 4. Verses 4 and 7. And this is what it says. Galatians 4. Verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And look at this last part of verse 7 with me. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And so third and finally, why boast in the cross of Christ? Thirdly, because the cross of Christ saves from the presence of sin. Let me explain, family. I don't want you to be caught off guard by this last point. Through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and through our faith and trust in that, the Bible teaches us that we've been redeemed. We've been delivered. We've been liberated from slavery and from bondage. The Bible also teaches us that God takes us out of slavery and God places us, or he adopts us, into his family. We refer to it as adoption. Adoption. That Jesus takes us from slavery and he places us, or he adopts us, into the family of God. And now, because we've been adopted into the family of God, now the Bible teaches us, and it's not taught a lot in the pulpits, but it's a biblical doctrine. The Bible teaches us that now we're heirs of God through Christ. That once we were slaves, once we were enemies, once we were rebels, but because of the cross, because of what Jesus did and our faith in it, we've been adopted into the family of God, and now we're heirs with God. We're heirs with Christ. And so as an heir, one day we're going to receive a glorious inheritance. Because that's what an heir does. An heir receives an inheritance. And being an heir of God with Christ, we're going to receive our inheritance from God. Can you imagine that? People would get happy if they had a rich uncle who died and left them as an heir. But God is not a rich uncle or a rich family member, but he's Creator God. Everything belongs to him. Everything. And the Bible teaches that one day as an heir of God, we're going to receive his inheritance. Wow. That we're going to be removed from this evil, corrupt world system. And Jesus is going to return for us. And you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to finish what he started. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And he's going to save us from the presence of sin. There's going to be a complete redemption. Complete totality redemption. That the Lord is going to return. And he's going to save us from the presence of sin. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you might be also. John 14 verses 1 and 3. He's coming back to get us, to deliver us, to rescue us, and to save us from the presence of sin. I don't know about you, family, but I get tired of the presence of sin. I hate sin. I hate this body. I hate this flesh. It's been crucified, but it hasn't been removed. It's been rendered powerless. It's dormant, but I still got to carry it around. But one day, that's all going to change. One day, we're going to be removed from the presence of sin. And we're going to be ushered into the presence of God. And it's only possible because of the cross. We've been justified, saved from the penalty of sin. We're being sanctified, saved from the power of sin. But one day we're going to be glorified, saved from the presence of sin. And it's all because of the cross. How many could say amen to that? Amen. Salvation from the penalty, from the power, and one day from the presence of sin. No wonder Paul says in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the cross that saved Paul on that Damascus road. It was the cross that justified him with God. It was the cross that reconciled him to God. It was the cross that redeemed him from the bondage of sin. It all comes through the cross. And the glorious news is that it's not just true for Paul, but it's also true for you and me this morning. It's the cross, man, this morning. We cannot boast too much in the cross. This morning, we cannot glory too much in the cross. This morning, we cannot praise God too much for the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the cross, we are nothing, but with the cross, we are everything. Without the cross, we're outside of the kingdom, but with the cross, we're inside of the kingdom. Without the cross, man, we're rebels at enmity with God. But with the cross, we are children of God. Man, this morning, may the Holy Spirit teach us, help us, and give us the grace to preach the cross, to glory in the cross and to treasure the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many could say amen to that? And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, may our love, may our passion, may our excitement for the cross and for the one who died upon the cross be renewed and rekindled. God bless you, family. Well, I'm going to invite Jonah.